Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Kyle Van Dusen, who after 15 years as a graphic designer and earning a business degree, launched Ogle Web Design in 2017. The Admin Bar Community with Matt Sievert in 2018, and Docket WP with Andre Gagnon in 2020. Today, we're going to be discussing Kyle's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Kyle.
I'm so happy you invited me here. I'm really excited for this conversation. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah, we're happy to have you here. So let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So, you know, what really, you know, motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Wow, that's a good question. So I have a fairly young family. I have three kids, all middle school or younger, one that hadn't even started school yet. And, you know, for my first son, I was still working a full-time job. And, you know, by the time I got home from work, he was getting ready for bed. I just didn't see him a ton, you know, with a full-time employment. My wife got her own business kind of while he was pretty small and got to set her own schedule and spend more time with them and stuff. And that kind of led me, you know, down that road and down that path, really, to just be able to create a better life for our family, to be able to spend more time together and things like that. So I work from home now. We have a little one that's here most of the time, thankfully at daycare today. But I get to spend tons of time with them. I see them when they, you know, I get to get them ready for school in the morning and see them as soon as they come off the bus in the afternoon. So for me, that's a huge part of it, is I can kind of design the lifestyle I want. So that's definitely what motivates me.
Yeah, that's a huge motivating factor for sure. And you just want to be setting that positive example for them as well. So yeah, I love that. And then, so I know you were a graphic designer. You started off as a graphic designer. So tell me about that story of, you know, how you started Ogle Web Design. You know, what was that deciding factor that you wanted to start an agency?
Yeah, so I worked in sign shops and print shops for about 15 years as a graphic designer, as a production person, as kind of a manager, as everything you could do inside of the sign business. And after a while, I kind of plateaued in what I could ever do in that career without starting my own shop. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever priced it before, but large format printers are very expensive. So trying to own my own business in that industry would have been going in quite a bit of debt.
Right.
So, like I mentioned, my wife started her own business before I did. I got really jealous of that. At that time, I happened to be going back to school as an older adult in college with a bunch of teenage kids, which was interesting.
mature student.
So I knew I wanted to find a way to have my own business, but at that time, I really didn't know. I was so focused on my job, I really didn't know there was a whole culture of like freelance graphic designers out there that I might have been able to just go do that. I didn't know that that option really existed. And I ended up having a place I was volunteering at. You know how if you work in any kind of related field to computers, they think you do everything computer. So they knew me as a graphic designer and they said, "Hey, we have a problem with our website. Can you help us fix it?" I'm like, "Well, I've never done that before, but I'd be willing to give it a shot, you know?" And I was like, they actually had a Wix website. So it was really easy to get in there and change a few things. I'm like, I wonder if there's some legs here because there's not a huge barrier of entry to get into this business. So I started exploring with that, trying to go out and find clients, doing some pro bono work and things like that. And it just started taking off pretty quickly to the point where I was replacing my full-time job income with work on the side that I was doing in the evenings and weekends and stuff like that. So, at the beginning of 2017, I put in my notice and off to the races and haven't looked back yet.
Wow, that's so cool. I love that story. And then, so, you know, in the early days, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think back to when I was doing this, you know, on the side, in the evenings, on the weekends, I was very immature as a business owner. I hadn't been doing this very long. I felt like I had to put on this persona. I had to pretend to be something I really wasn't. So when clients would call during the day, I would sneak outside and call them back and say, I'm sorry, I was in another meeting, you know, because I didn't want them to know I had another job, that I was just doing this on the side, you know. And I'm sure my email communications coming in the evenings or during the weekends or something was odd. So I would schedule emails to come in the middle of the day and things like that. And so a lot of that was like a lot of work I forced upon myself, that one day I realized, you know, I'm just going to be honest with these people and tell them I have a, you know, a full-time job and I do this in the evenings. And as soon as I did that, it was just so much easier from that point forward. So that's something I've tried to just carry on, you know, ongoing in my business, is, you know, just be an authentic, true representation of yourself and you'll attract the kind of people you want to work with. I know when I was pretending to be someone else, I wasn't really attracting the kind of people I wanted to work with anyway. So that's been a huge one that with me that I've taken forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so important to really be paying attention, you know, where your energy is going, because, you know, there's never enough hours in the day. So, you know, is the effort that you're putting in really worth it at the end of the day as well? So.
Yeah. And it was amazing. Once I started telling my clients the truth, you know, none of them cared at all. They were totally cool with it. They were, you know, in some cases they were excited that I was like working on this and trying to build it up, you know, so it actually ended up building rapport with some clients in a way that I would never imagined, you know.
That's weird, really
that
cool.
Honesty just really is the best policy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And then, so how do you guys really set yourselves apart? Because there is a lot of digital marketers out there nowadays. The market's pretty saturated. So is there anything that you guys do to kind of help stand out from other agencies?
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I mean, it's tough for all of us because there's no barrier of entry. This, for the same reason I got into this business, you know, so many other people get into this business, because really all you need is an internet connection and a laptop and like you're qualified. So that does make it difficult. I think obviously something that you can't really fake, but the longevity, your business being around for a while means a lot in this business. And clients, I think, are starting to realize that there's a lot of like fly-by-night type freelancers and agencies and things like that. They're here one day and gone the next. So having a little bit of track record, not that mine's super long, 5 years isn't a ton of time to be in business, but in our industry, it is a long time to be in business. You know,
yeah.
So many people throw in the towel before then. So that's huge. For me, the biggest thing that I've ever been able to really do and see success with is just creating content. So I'm big into writing blog posts, sending out email marketing newsletters, doing podcast interviews like this, anything I can do to just be able to, you know, show the knowledge I have, share those things with people. For me, that's such a huge differentiator. There's plenty of people that can do exactly what I can do, but a lot of times people are hiring somebody that they trust, right? And the way you can build that trust up is content is just a huge way to do that, and especially a way to work on that one-to-many relationship. I can write one piece of content or record one piece of content, and it can go out to dozens or hundreds or thousands of people if I'm really lucky. And that's really hard to do on a one-on-one basis if you do things, you know, if you focus all your efforts in something like going to networking meetings or chamber of commerce meetings. It's so hard to scale that in a huge way, because it's always one-to-one relationships, which is just tough. So for me, I've always just had a huge thing for doing content marketing, and I've just seen such great results from it that's been pretty much the path I've always been on.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's you definitely want to be maximizing your efforts. So being proactive and finding those opportunities where you can be reaching the masses instead of doing that one-to-one, you know, networking, it makes so much sense. What have been some ways that you have sort of opened opportunities where you've been able to reach the masses as opposed to doing the one-on-one networking route?
You know, I think a lot of it started in like ignorance is bliss. And I'm like, hey, you know, other people go on podcasts. Why can't I go on a podcast? So I just reached out to people and, you know, asked if I could be on their show, you know, not knowing that I was probably in no position or had no authority to do that whatsoever. But there's plenty of people, kind of like there's tons of web developers, there's tons of podcasters too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can find your ways onto things like that. It's it's almost a fake it till you make it type thing. You know, it's go out and try to find those opportunities and don't be afraid to put yourself in those situations. I think none of us give ourselves enough credit for the things we do know. You know, I go to talk to people that are outside of this industry that I meet in regular everyday life. And the most mundane, boring thing about my business is something they don't understand at all, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for the knowledge that we have. So going out there and putting yourself in those situations or trying to find those opportunities, it takes, you know, I think for most people, it takes courage. For me, it took ignorance, right? I just didn't know any better. So I just went and did it. So that was kind of lucky. But, you know, I feel like none of those kind of chances I took on things like that, I don't look at any of them now as any kind of mistake. Like it was all kind of a building block to get me further in my agency. So I think looking for those opportunities and seeking them out is just a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things too, like when you... The more you do those things, the more those opportunities just start coming your way. So
yeah,
it's weird that once you start, you get on a couple of podcasts and then all of a sudden you have people writing you asking you to come on their podcast. And it's like, well, nothing changed. You know, I just did it a couple of times. So now I'm seen as somebody who does this. So sometimes it's just that first step to like break the ice that's so important.
Yeah, totally. I love that you just, you know, just went and did it. I love it when you just, you know, you don't hold yourself back with that fear and, you know, second guess it and you just get out there and do it. And yeah, you know, when you start going on podcasts as well, a lot of podcast hosts are looking for guests and they will scout them out on other podcasts as well. So that's sort of a pro tip if you're looking at getting yourself out there, just yeah, start going on podcasts, reach out to the podcast host and then yeah, exactly. That's exactly how they'll find you.
I would say reach out with something really specific too. If you write a podcast host and say, hey, my name is so-and-so, this is what I do, this is a message I'd like to share with your audience, here's point one, two, and three that I think I could help out with, mm-hmm. you're golden. They're going to schedule you in. If you just say, you know, hey, my name's Joe, can I be on your podcast? Probably low chances. But if you come in, I run a podcast too, and we get, you know, solicitations fairly often, but yeah. So many of them are so terrible. They just immediately go in the trash. If, you know, 1 in 100 stand out just by taking a little bit of effort. So just taking a little bit of effort on that, you can definitely get yourself in those situations pretty easily.
Yeah, definitely. You've taken all the legwork work out of the way. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Very cool. So, you know, in your day-to-day operations now running your agency, what are some challenges that you've run into?
You know, my biggest challenge right now is time. I actually saw a poll inside of a Facebook group this morning that said, you know, when you're trying to do something new, what's your biggest obstacle? And it was like time, money, you know, ideas, these kinds of different things. And for me, it was like, no doubt, it's time. I have purposely, I don't have teammates, I don't have employees. I subcontract things out kind of semi-regularly to a few people, content writers and things like that. But I've purposely tried to design my business to be fairly small. I'm not the manager type. I like getting my hands dirty and doing the work. So yeah. For me, sitting back and like delegating work all day wouldn't be my ideal situation. So I've purposely kept my company small, but you know, just over time, you start building referrals, you start building a name for yourself and those kinds of things, you start to get more business. So for me, it's, I have such a struggle right now with just time and like overcommitting myself, putting too much on my plate that I know I can't handle. So what I've really been trying to do better about is figuring out what are my limits and then not allowing myself to exceed those limits. So granularly, that's on a daily basis. I try to plan out tomorrow's work today. So before I leave the office today, I'm going to plan out everything that has to get accomplished tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And unless it's a huge emergency, something's on fire, I'm not adding anything to that list during the day, right? So if I can plan my days out in advance, I know that I can better account for the amount of time that I want to put into work. Mm-hmm. But then that goes even to a bigger level, like how many projects can I take on at a time? How big can those projects be? And just unfortunately, having to tell some people sometimes, I'm interested in this project. I think I'd be a good fit to do it. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to start for 2 months or 3 months or, you know, at points in my career, it's been 6 months and a lot of, you know, people aren't usually going to stay around for 6 months waiting for a website to be developed. But, you know, in order for me to keep my sanity, that's something that I've had to do. And it's a daily kind of challenge. But I think you know, just planning things out is so important for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's so important to just be organized. And, you know, so with your sales, is that something that you really have to be proactively looking to be bringing in more clients? Or are you guys pretty much at a point now where the work is just coming to you and you're on more of a referral basis?
Yeah, I don't know that, you know, I talk with tons of agency owners too. And, you know, 90% of them say most of their business comes from referrals, right? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like mine is nearly that big, maybe 25, 30, maybe 40% come referrals. A lot of mine comes from doing content marketing. So I feel like for me, the sales process isn't going out, scouting one specific customer, trying to build a relationship with them and land that job because it's so time intensive to do that. So mm-hmm. for me, it's been, what are some pieces of content that I know could bring the right people in? So I'll give you an example of one because that's really, really abstract. A couple years ago, I was working a lot with the page builder Elementor. That's how I was building all my websites. And it was software that I knew inside and out. So I wrote some really specific blog posts on like how to convert your website from X platform to Elementor, or, you know, how to rebuild a website with Elementor. And there was tons of them. A lot of them were fairly duplicate, but it was like Wix to Elementor, Squarespace to Elementor, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I had tons of content on these things. And come to find out, there was more than enough people searching for that to keep me busy. I've took wow. all those posts off my website because I'm no longer using Elementor. So I'm not trying to get those jobs anymore, but I still get, you know, kind of artifacts and people reaching out for those things. So for me, you know, the sales process is creating content that's going to attract the kind of customers I want, because I can do that one to many type thing and not spend my days doing sales, because personally, like getting on sales calls and all those kinds of things aren't things I enjoy anyways. So
yeah,
anytime I can do it one to many, that's better for me.
Very cool. I love that. So what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
Yeah, I think, you know, the hard part about being an entrepreneur and, you know, doing project-based work like we do, right, is 1 month is really great. You have a lot of sales. And then the next month you're buried with all those sales. So you really can't go out and do any more sales. And you get on this roller coaster of like a good month, bad month, a good month, a bad month. And yeah. You know, when you have a regular job, you don't have to deal with that roller coaster. You get paid the same thing every couple of weeks and life's fairly easy that way. So I think that's been, you know, I feel like I'm at a pretty good place with it now, but for a long time, my agency was like, okay, how do I get my recurring revenue to a place where I can at least pay our bills off of recurring revenue, where if I didn't go out and get a project that month, you know, my kids aren't eating ramen noodles every night for dinner, right? So for me, that's been a huge one. It's like, how do I build recurring revenue into my agency so that I can raise the floor of whatever I'm going to make every month? My ceiling is still, you know, whatever my capacity is, but at least the floor, if I didn't do anything new this month, I know I'm getting X amount of dollars in. So over the years, as our lifestyles changed, as inflation has happened and everything's way more expensive now to live, you know, that number's mm-hmm. changed over time, but it's just trying to keep up with that and make sure that I can count on that kind of money coming in every month, because it just makes doing this a whole lot easier when that recurring revenue's in place.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely something that you really got to figure out for sure, because yeah, just dealing with a per project basis clients is it eats up so much of your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things too, like if you're small like I am, one person in the agency, you take on a really big project. I'm in the middle of a really big project right now. That might be going on for 2 or 3 months and taking up most of my time, and it's really hard to anticipate things and you know, I can't start selling stuff now out when this project is completed. So it's going to be a mad scramble when this project's done, you know, if I didn't have that recurring piece in place to go out and find more work. So it makes everything in life so much easier.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about Docket WP with our listeners, because I know that's a handy little plugin you've built to assist with agencies, owners, their processes and to-do lists. So can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you're very generous in saying I built it. I didn't. I partnered with somebody who built it and just kind of helped with the idea. So it all actually happened because, and I'm sure we've all been there, if you work with WordPress, there's a little checkbox in the back end that says discourage search engines from crawling this website, right? And if you've ever launched a website before and forgot to uncheck that box, and then nobody can find your client's website, that's not a good thing, right?
No.
So I was telling one of my buddies that I ended up developing this product with, like, I need some kind of checklist built into my website where when I go to launch it, I can just roll right through this. You know, I had some checklists inside of a Google Doc or inside of a spreadsheet somewhere, but the fact that it was decoupled from the actual work I was doing, I was much more, I would think, oh, I can do this from memory, and I would try to do everything and then eventually forget something, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea was, how could I put some kind of checklist inside of my WordPress websites? So we started developing something like that out specifically for like the launch checklist type thing. And we just realized there's so many other things you can do during the process of developing a website. So that might be, you know, the SEO for a page. You might have a checklist of things you want to go through to make sure you do all the on-page SEO stuff. So we've ended up developing a bunch of standard operating procedures based around the kinds of things WordPress people do that come with that software. So you can tap into like processes we've already worked out. But really the beneficial part of it is you can create your own list, you save them to a cloud library, you can import those lists onto any number of websites that you need. So that way you can do some repeatable processes across all web projects. And I know that's so huge when I bring on, you know, a copywriter or something and I want them to publish some content on the website, I can just tell them, hey, go through this checklist when you're done and make sure all this work's done. So, you know, I can imagine if I had team members or something like that, being able to have all these standard operating procedures in place is just so huge in like ensuring the quality of your work. So that's kind of where it started and what it's for.
Very cool. And then, so if any of our listeners are interested in learning more about that, where would they go to learn more about that?
So you can go to docketwp.com and that will show you, kind of give you an overview of all the lists we have available inside that subscription and the software and stuff. It is a paid software, so you do have to subscribe to access any of that, but there's a free trial on there so you can try it out for 7 days without having to pay anything and check it out. But you know, it's definitely handy for those. I found a lot of agencies who already have like really strict, rigid processes in place, and the key here, they actually follow those already. It's probably not so useful to them. For me, okay. You know, it's really useful for somebody like me who's got a loose idea of their processes and follows them most of the time when they have the extra time to actually go through a checklist. It's really about the convenience factor. Like, you don't have to go anywhere else to do this. It's already inside the project you're working on. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself in that situation, it could definitely be useful.
Very cool. Yeah, that sounds like a really awesome tool. Yeah. Well, and I'll definitely put a link to that in the description as well. So, you know, knowing what you know now, is there anything you would have done differently when you were first starting out your agency?
Oh man, let's see. Everything. No. you know, I think I didn't realize, you know, you just don't know what you don't know, right? So I didn't tap into like the community, the agency or WordPress community right away. I didn't realize that even existed. So for me, that's been such a huge part of my growth, is like finding other people that are doing the same thing, learning from them, listening to podcasts like this and picking up, you know, if you listen to a podcast and pick up one tip, you might remember that for the next 10 years, you know, all that investment that you do in like your education and in this industry is so huge. And especially because things change so much, there's a million different ways to do everything. There's always opportunities to be learning more. So tapping into like the community was huge and something I didn't do right away. Like I said, we talked about the recurring revenue earlier, figuring that out and that needed to be priority number one from the beginning. It, you know, I didn't realize care plans existed when I started selling websites, you know? So figuring that stuff out and trying to make sure the focus of my agency was getting clients into some kind of ongoing payment situation, whether that be through maintenance or through SEO or social media posting or whatever it may be, wherever your strengths lie, if there's some way for you to turn your offering into a subscription service so you can count on that revenue, I definitely wish that I would have thought about all those things and maybe built my agency around those more from the beginning that way, because it would have saved me from so many of those roller coaster months that I went through, especially in the beginning where it's nerve wracking when you have a car payment and a mortgage and all those things, and you're not sure what you're going to make next month, you know? So that's been huge for me as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That whole idea of just, you know, work smarter, not harder. And also I love the idea that you, you know, are constantly educating yourself and learning through like the communities and just like constantly be educating yourself. Cause yeah, I don't really know a single successful entrepreneur who's not, you know, reading, you know, pretty much every day and just constantly learning and upgrading their skills.
And it's amazing too, like in our industry, because I guess probably because of how quickly technology changes, because there's so many options to do the same thing. You can do it a million different ways. You can learn from literally anyone who's doing this, right? So it could be somebody who just started yesterday. We have a community of agency owners, and there'll be people in there that they have the little symbol next to their name denoting they're a new person of the group. And they'll say, you know, I just started developing websites this year. And then they'll tell you something that you never thought of, you know? So it's amazing. You don't have to learn from people that are been doing this 100 years. There's not any, but you know, been doing this forever. It's amazing that everybody can contribute to kind of that collective knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you have things to learn from everyone. If you will, do as I say, not as I do, listen to other people and not assume you're doing things the right way, right? There's so many things you can learn from anyone in this business and take away. And even if you make your business 1% better from that thing, all that adds up over time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, just keep an open mind and you never know where you're going to learn the next helpful tip from.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we're going to begin wrapping up here shortly, but I'd love to know, where do you see Ogle Web Design in 5 years' time?
That is a fantastic question. Hopefully staying small and working with, continuing to improve the quality of my clients. So for me, we've said it 50 times already, but recurring revenue. I want to continue to build that to where, I can be even more picky than I am now about the clients I'm taking on. Mm-hmm. I've had the privilege of over the last year or two getting to be more picky about the projects I take on. And if something doesn't sound interesting or fun, or it would be good for my portfolio or whatever it may be, I don't feel obligated that I have to take every one of those projects on, which is a great feeling. But I'd love to be able to be even more picky about that and really curate the kind of jobs I'm working on, so I'm doing the things that I'm really interested in doing most. So, I definitely like to see myself in that position, obviously with more recurring revenue, that would make it a whole lot easier, but really being able to work on the types of projects that excite me and I know I can make the biggest impact on, rather than just scaling for scaling's sake.
Yes, definitely. Very exciting. So before we move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions, can you share a little bit with us about your WordPress community that you've built, the Admin Bar?
Yeah. So long story short, I ended up, a random agency owner reached out to me when I was still working my full-time job and was looking for somebody to outsource with. I did a couple projects for him, but we ended up hitting it off really well. He had been running his business a lot longer than I had, but he had just started doing web stuff around the same time I had. So he was still trying to figure all that out as well. Mm-hmm. And what we realized is, we became friends. We started talking, you know, several times a week, sometimes several times a day, sharing, hey, this happened. Do you know how to fix this or whatever it may be? But what we realized is through that relationship, the trajectory of our business really took off. And it was just having somebody else there to be able to like troubleshoot things with, to be able to share like our goals and wins and like, hey, this month I'm trying to hit X number of dollars and I did it or whatever it may be. It was just having somebody else there and not doing this in a vacuum was huge. And we're like, well, you know, if we had so much success just having you and I, there's got to be thousands of other people that could benefit from the same thing. So we started a podcast and a community. Really, the community has become the heart of it. So we have a Facebook group, the Admin Bar, with, there's about 5,000 agency owners in there now, but
incredible.
I don't know, Facebook groups get a reputation for being a pretty vile, hateful place sometimes. Mm-hmm. One of the amazing things was just a post in our group last week about just, it's become such a supportive, helpful community. It's really everybody there with the same mission of like, how can we share something? How can we learn something? You know, all those kinds of things. So it's just been a really awesome thing to see this community grow and like keep that ethos about it, that everybody's there to kind of help with each other or help each other out and learn things from each other. So it's been a huge part of, you know, my growth in the agency and as a person and being able to get in front of people and kind of share that message with each other that everybody has something to give and everybody has something to learn, you know, and it's a huge part of taking your business forward.
Very cool. Well, definitely go check that out. If you're running an agency, go to the Admin Bar Facebook group and definitely check that out.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you.
Perfect. Well, now we're going to be moving on to the Fast Five. So we've got five rapid fire questions for you. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Ooh, The Company of One by Paul Jarvis, or Company of One by Paul Jarvis. A lot of things I talked about kind of staying small and those kinds of things I took away from that book. I had terrible imposter syndrome thinking I had to scale my agency. That gave me the permission to stay small. So that's a huge one.
Very cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh man. So I get up about 4 o'clock in the morning, which I've found is the only time on earth when kids don't need me, wife doesn't need me, nobody knows I'm up working. I can get tons of work done. So I don't know. I wake up in the morning with tons of energy. So usually for me, it's straight to the computer. How much can I knock out before the sun comes up?
Love it. That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know what? Not that I could think of off the top of my head. I try to take in as much as I can from anybody, and it doesn't necessarily need to be some huge big wig to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I find inspiration in all kinds of business owners and even employees of businesses. So not one that particularly stands out.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
Ooh. So we'll go with my favorite right this minute because it changes all the time, right? There's a tool called Tango. You can go to tango.us. Mm-hmm. It actually allows you to, you press a button. It's a browser extension. You press a button and it starts kind of taking screenshots of your screen as you interact with websites. So it's a really easy way to write up a standard operating procedure by just going through the process. You press a button, you just walk through whatever you need to do. It takes screenshots of the whole thing and and annotate them. It's amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, definitely going to check that out. That sounds so convenient. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think, you know, going back to the book I recommended, that I didn't have to build this business to be huge with a team full of people and all that. I think when I first started out, I thought it was all about scaling. And I realized later on that I could really just design I guess some people refer to it as a lifestyle business that fits my lifestyle, you know, build the life that I want to. And I could have been doing that from day one instead of trying to fake it for so long into growing before I realized that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important to just have that honest conversation with yourself of what kind of agency do I really want to be running at the end of the day? Cause yeah, I've had guests on before who have grown their agencies to, you know, 100-man agencies and then decided to scale back because it was just basically their job was HR at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. And especially so many of us get into this business because we like building websites or doing SEO or whatever those things are. Mm-hmm. When you have a bunch of employees, you no longer do that. Your job is now managing a bunch of people who do that. Maybe you love doing that. I personally found I don't like doing that. So I want to be in there getting my hands dirty.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kyle. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.